January 30th, 1969. Paul utters the words, "Thanks, Mo," which turn out to be his last words on the final Beatle album. His comment is easy to miss, like so many other details in the tumult of the Beatles' career, but it's there at the end of the song Get Back, closing out Let It Be, released just a few weeks after he announced the band was breaking up. After the electric piano coda of Get Back, you hear scattered applause from their famous rooftop concert in London. John makes a quip, "I hope we pass the audition." The film crew laughs politely at the boss's joke, as they've had to do way too many times in the past month. It's an awkward moment. Get Back isn't a favorite of mine, so it's not one I ever play on purpose, but it's not like I leave the room if it comes on. I can take it or leave it. I'd probably heard Get Back a few thousand times before I ever noticed Paul mumbling, "Thanks, Mo," right before John's joke. He's thanking Maureen Cox Starr, Ringo's wife, for applauding and cheering through their little rooftop concert. No doubt she was freezing her ass off with nobody noticing her. Mo Starr might have been the only person there having a sincerely good time. Maybe she was grateful to be invited. What a quintessential Beatle moment. They're staging this self-conscious historic occasion for the cameras. John's going into a bit of trusty banter, but Paul gets distracted by the sight of a girl clapping. Drop Paul in any situation, no matter how momentous or formal, and he'll find the clapping girl. He zeroes in on her enthusiasm. She makes the song worth playing. He doesn't thank guest keyboardist Billy Preston, the boys in the band, or anyone else. Mo's a Beatle fan, always has been. She was one of the original screaming Beatle girls in Liverpool. She saw them regularly at the Cavern Club in 1962. She was the fan who crossed the sacred line and married one of the band. She kissed Paul before she dated Ringo, but they worked that out. The first time she met Ringo, she was tapping on his car window to ask for an autograph. In later years, after the divorce, she sadly became the first Beatle spouse to die, shortly before Linda, inspiring Paul's tribute, Little Willow. She's an easily overlooked but beloved figure in their lore. The teenage hairdresser who lived out the fantasy of countless fans, yet remained down to earth, avoiding the media spotlight. She worshipped Frank Sinatra, so for her 22nd birthday in 1968, Ringo got Frank to record a private tribute record, changing the lyrics of "The Lady is a Tramp" to "Maureen is a Champ." Old Blue Eyes croons, "There's no one like her, no one at all. As for charm, hers is like wall to wall. She married Ringo when she could have had Paul." Frank couldn't resist slipping in a little dig. "I'm just FS, but to me she's Big M, mainly because she prefers me to them." Paul has seen her in the front row so many times, but this show is different. It's the first Beatle live performance in years, and it's not going the way he hoped. None of them realized it would be so cold, so Ringo is playing in Maureen's red coat, while John dons Yoko's fur wrap and George wears Patty's jacket. The Let It Be project was supposed to be a renewal, playing old-time rock and roll, getting back to where they once belonged. But the Beatles are falling apart. John is mad that everyone's bitchy to Yoko. Paul is mad that he's the only one who showed up with any finished songs. George is mad that Paul keeps telling him how to play his guitar. George and Ringo recently quit for brief periods. Paul turns to Linda. John turns to Yoko. Brian Epstein is dead. Nobody could ever replace him, but Paul wants to install his brother-in-law, while the other three fall under the spell of one of the most serviceable villains in the music business, Alan Klein. And oh yes, John just released a solo album where he and Yoko stand naked on the cover. Everybody's upset about that. Sir Joseph Lockwood, president of their record company, pleads, "Why not show Paul in the nude? He's so much better looking." A Beatle publicist tries to look on the bright side. "Not only is he a brilliant songwriter, but he's probably done more for the cause of male frontal nudity than any one single show business personality." How could this project get any more miserable? There's also a film crew on hand, documenting every moment. The Beatles are staging their Back to Our Roots retreat for a movie in front of all these strangers in the chilly confines of Twickenham Studios instead of good old Abbey Road. Every argument is captured for the camera, along with all the canned mugging and servile laughter. They have no idea how to end this sorry fiasco until they come up with a brainstorm to play a surprise rooftop gig, their first concert in years. Paul's idea, why don't we do it on the roof, is a typically clever whim from a man who's gotten used to trusting his spontaneous impulses. The Beatles take to the roof on a Thursday afternoon, and they find it stickier than they thought. After the 1-2-3 count into Dig a Pony, they stop short because Ringo has to blow his nose. But they sound great. So great, John can't resist saying, "Fuck yeah," in the final minute of I've Got a Feeling. About half the 42-minute performance ends up in the movie. Engineer Glyn Johns wraps ladies' stockings over the mic to keep out the wind. They cut the album versions of Dig a Pony, One After 909, and I've Got a Feeling, even though, as John says, hands too cold to play the chords. He has an assistant kneel in front of him with a clipboard so he can read the lyrics. The scene they imagined might be some kind of career-capping resolution, or at least a big ending for the film, has ended up just hard work on a rainy January day. The Beatles play in front of a bunch of drab adult men who try not to get in the way. No spontaneous Woodstock love-in down below. No panic in the streets of London. No shutting down the city with a flash mob of screaming fans. Just a few curious stockbroker types. Not even many girls, which must have pained Paul. As the surviving Beatles admit in the anthology documentary, they wanted to provoke a showdown with the cops, so at least they'd get a flashy final scene. Maybe get let off in handcuffs, like David Lee Roth in the Panama video. No such luck. The police don't crash in waving truncheons. A very undramatic cop shuts off the power, not even on camera, and that's it. No, that's not how they wanted it at all. They end with Get Back, their third attempt of the day. It's not a tricky song, but with all the wind and rain and exhaustion, it sounds forced. For the album version, they go back to a studio take, recorded 3 days earlier, but edited to end with John and Paul's banter, giving the impression that it's the rooftop jam.